Good afternoon, and welcome to the PDA Writing Podcast. Today, we are reading Approaching Review, the fifth chapter of P.I. Cohn and the Bicentennial. Dale was again in their hotel room. It was morning. They were thinking they needed another place to wait things out instead of these four walls. There was a myriad of places in the city where Dale would go to think things over, but in a town this small, they doubted they would get a moment of peace. The hotel room was at least free of any curious townspeople. Chris was working on getting the photos from the paper. The paper kept odd hours, so even though their departure from the bar was about midday, Chris hadn't been able to start working on getting the pictures until this morning. And it was going to be a process. The paper was notorious for taking their time with information requisitions. Chris, and Dale as well, were expecting it to take at least all morning, if not all day. Which meant Dale had to wait. They weren't really fond of that. At least, though, if they had time to wait, they had time to think. They could review what they knew about the case before getting more evidence, especially if that evidence was going to take all day. Dale collapsed on their bed and stared up at the ceiling. The last time Victoria was seen was at the Bicentennial Street party the town had put on. There had to have been dozens of people there who would have seen her, but only one person had anything to say, and even that wasn't much. She had been dating someone with questionable temperament. It was assumed by Mary that the boyfriend had broken the hand. Victoria had also been pregnant and had given birth recently. She had given birth recently. That was it. Dale flung themselves off the bed and snatched up their phone. They paused for a moment. They didn't think Chris would answer a call. Trying to convince the paper of things would be delicate work. So, Dale typed on their phone quickly and sent off the text. A minute later, their phone dinged. Chris had given them a username and password to gain access to the county's birth records. A second text came swiftly after.
Oh, I'll digitize thanks to a bored teenager who works part-time in the department. Scans of original will be next to info.
Dale smiled. They had everything they needed. They sat cross-legged on the bed and opened their laptop. This should definitely get them somewhere. It definitely got them nowhere. There were no birth records in the county that matched the time or really anything. Dale pushed their computer away from them. It was useless. Were they to get anything useful on this case? If there is no birth record to find, then how can they figure out what happened to the child? It could have been a closed adoption, but that wouldn't explain the lack of birth records. It would make sense, though, if the child was given up for adoption. Unwed mothers were rare in that time, though not unheard of. There would have been a lot of pressure to either marry the man or give the child away. If Mary's diary was accurate, then Victoria had no intention of marrying the father. That would be motive for murder if the father found out. If Mary's description of the type of family the father was from was reasonable. That was one of the issues. The only story they had was from a diary. Personal accounts were known to be biased. Dale could only take so much of that as reality, and besides, they told nothing of what Victoria was thinking or doing. It is assumed that the father of the child was a boyfriend. But that is only one explanation. The father isn't actually known. It could have been someone else, and that would have been also a motive for murder. There were too many questions. Dale was frustrated. They knew it was a cold case and that the person couldn't get any more dead, and the likelihood of the murderer still being a threat wasn't high. But they were used to having more to go on, even by now with a cold case. It was so rare that someone who seemed to be as well-loved as she was could go so unnoticed. Maybe if they could figure out what happened to the sister. Maybe then they would be able to get some answers. That was another mystery. The sister could be just as dead as the other. The only way to figure that out would be to solve this case, which seemed to be going nowhere. Dale had to take a deep breath. They had to remind themselves that all the evidence wasn't in. There was still more to look at. These weren't the only pieces to the puzzle. though Dale couldn't help but feel like there was something that they should have noticed by now, that they had forgotten something or misplaced a puzzle piece. Chris called just before lunchtime. The paper had just released the pictures into his hands. Chris, however, was starving and told Dale to come in after lunch. They could start then. Chris then muttered some well-chosen words pertaining to the slowness of the paper and how was it impeding an investigation. Dale just laughed. They knew how much Chris hated being inconvenienced. Dale ate a small lunch and then headed over to the station. The photos and Chris were down in the evidence room. Two boxes were on the table. Dale took off their blazer and flung it over a chair. "What do we have?" they asked as they pulled out a chair and sat down.
"We have one box of prints and one box of film. We also have an SD card with digitalized prints on there from when the paper went digital a few years back. Most, however, are prints, and even more are film,"
Chris explained. "Do we have a plan of action?" Dale folded their fingers in front of them.
"I figure we look through the prints first. All of them are 8x10, large enough to see details easily. I figure if we don't find anything in them, then we move on to digitalizing the film we have and look further. Just the process of digitizing might help us see something."
"Why not just make it digital now?"
"We don't have the equipment to do it here. We would need to find someone to get the equipment or use someone else's. I can hope we find something without needing to do that."
Dale could tell that Chris was skeptical, but he was right. It was worth a shot. "Hand me a stack and a magnifier. Let's get started." Dale had often done things like this. They were used to sifting through sacks of physical evidence, whether it was bills, letters, or receipts. In cold cases, as expected, the evidence often came in physical form, if it was some sort of document. They, after a while, blocked out Chris muttering to himself. The man had described every photo he came across. Dale wasn't entirely sure what that was about. They were about halfway through the first stack before they even found a picture of the twins. They were in the crowd in front of the stage that had been set up. It looked to be the opening ceremony for the party. Dale recognized the old town mayor up on the platform. The picture was taken from the side, and the only reason Dale recognized the girls was that they were partially turned away from the stage towards the camera. One was smiling and the other laughing. There were so many people around them that Dale wasn't sure if they were with anyone or if they were alone. They set it aside anyways. All pictures of them would need to be re-examined. They didn't find another picture until their third stack of photos. There had been a little mini carnival set up for the party. Dale knew both from the picture and from the accounts of the townspeople every fourth that this carnival had been set up by the local high school. Dale had always wanted the school to set up another carnival, but they never got their wish. Mary and Victoria were holding hands in front of the ring toss, a large stuffed bear being held up by Victoria. There were several men smiling in the background, but Dale couldn't tell if they were any more interested in the pair than any of the others. They all just seemed genuinely happy for the twins and their new stuffed bear. Dale could tell, though, that the hand holding onto Mary's was splinted up and wrapped very expertly. Of course, a broken hand wouldn't be enough to stop Victoria from coming from the celebration. Dale only found one more picture of them after that. They could tell it had been getting late. It was a candid shot of the two of them sitting on a bench eating what looked to be hot dogs. They seemed to be content, enjoying the time that they had. Dale pushed their chair away from the table and stood up. "Did you find anything?" They were mildly frustrated. They knew there were more photos, but after going through several stacks of them and only finding three did not give them the hope that they would find something.
"No," Chris replied. "I found a few photos of them, but nothing that gives us anything to go on."
"What about the photos on the SD card?" It was a long shot, but Dale was willing to try.
"That's not going to get us anywhere. All the photos on there were from the original printing, which is what we already looked at. To be fair, the printed photos are less than half of the actual amount of photos taken at the party."
"I know, but it doesn't feel like there's anything here. I'm not giving up, don't worry. I just thought we would get maybe even a hint of something, like the argument they supposedly had, or the pictures when they were actually leaving the party. All I got were happy moments. Not that that is bad, just doesn't help us solve anything."
"It doesn't."
Chris rubbed his eyes.
"It's dinner time, why don't we stop for the night?"
Chris held up a hand.
"I know you want to get this solved, but it's not like it's going anywhere. And besides, we have to figure out how we are going to get these digitized."
"Andrew can probably help us. He prefers working with film, and so he should have a way to help us with this.
Then I will give the box of film to you, and you can take it to him over in the morning.
Dale nodded and slipped their arms back through their blazer. They grabbed the box of film and pulled it towards them.
In the morning, mind you, Chris reminded. Some food and some rest will do you good.
Yes, Mom, Dale muttered. Chris smiled and swatted it at them.
Let me know if you find anything. I'll need to catch up on some work here, and I'll probably just get in the way of you and Andrew tomorrow.
I'll keep you updated, Dale said as they called the elevator. Alrighty, I hope you enjoyed Chapter 5, Approach and Review, from P.I. Cohn and the Bicentennial. I know this is kind of a reviewing type of thing, you don't really get much of information there, but you need to sometimes take a step back, look at the bigger picture, and kind of know more, not know more, but question more about what's going on. Because obviously you're giving so much information sometimes that you don't always know everything that's going on. So yeah, it's more of a review about everything that has happened. So, and we start off with Dale in their hotel room. Apparently I like starting off with Dale in their hotel room. To be fair, they sleep there, eat there, half live there, you know, for the time being anyways. So they're going to be there a lot anyways. But wishing that they could go out and do other things, or rather sit and think elsewhere, but didn't want to have to deal with townspeople. Curiosity killed the cat, apparently. Well, apparently it's going to kill Dale. Not just from townspeople, if they were to go out, but also from their irritation with not finding anything. Like, they go through all of the stuff. They talk about getting the photos from the paper, how long it's going to take for Chris to get them. And just, like, the time frame of Victoria being last seen at the Bicentennial, the broken hand that was supposedly broken by the boyfriend, but we don't know that for certain. About Victoria having been pregnant, and then they get to, like, oh, hey, let's look at these birth records. The problem is, when they look at the birth records, there is no birth records around that time. And so it ends up being a dead end, which, of course, gets really frustrating for Dale. But then they start, like, looking into it more, like thinking a little bit more about it, even without the birth records. Like, obviously the child might have been given up for adoption, given to, I don't know, anybody. We know, as far as we're aware, that Victoria was not planning on marrying the father, so adoption would have probably been the way to go. But that's only if Mary's diary was accurate. And obviously, it's a diary. It's one person's point of view. And I know I've written a diary before. Like, not all the time are you recounting things accurately. It's always your perspective, and even sometimes what you want the perspective to be. And so, while it's a good timeline-ish, kind of like a structure, it's not necessarily the information that Dale wants. There's too much bias in it. There's too much hesitation. Not hesitation, I guess is not the word I'm looking for. Too much unknown about it. So, and, like, because you have this description of the family that Victoria's boyfriend was from, how temperamental they were. But, like, we don't know if that's true or not. We don't know if that's the temperament of her boyfriend. We don't know if that's the temperament of the family either. We just know that Mary knows us, thinks us that that is the temperament. But if that is the temperament, obviously, being pregnant but not marrying the father would be motive for murder, if that were the case, and if the family was as abusive as Mary's description was, then that isn't a far stretch. But then again, we don't know if the father is the boyfriend, and even without that temperament of the family, if the father was someone who wasn't the boyfriend, that is also obviously motive for murder, which is Dale's line of thinking. But then they kind of come back and just, like, there are so many questions. There's this and that and all of this, and just, I don't know what to do with it type of thing. Like, they know they just kind of have to, like, sit and reason and wait to get more evidence in, and they can only do so much with the information that they have. But they're still like, oh my goodness, this is, why am I not getting anywhere with this? Because there is too many questions. And they keep on feeling like they don't, like they're missing a piece of the puzzle type of thing. Like they've, like it's there, they've seen it, but they can't find it again, and they don't know what it was to begin with. That's going to help them bring this all together. But, you know, whatever works, I guess. But yeah, Dale's super frustrated right now. And even when they get the pictures in, which to be fair, they just have the prints and all they find is happy photos. Which, I mean, if you're publishing pictures in the paper, it's probably only going to be happy photos anyways. I don't think they're gonna be putting the ones in for arguments or anything else. Like, they might have been taken and they have stole all those in back, but it's not gonna be like a view of the paper actually publishing them in the paper. Like, why would you do that? You want to like exude this, oh hey, this is a good time and everything, everybody's having fun and everything, unless it's like something big happened, which I mean the girls went missing, but after that, like, what else, what do you know type of thing? Not much. And so it's like, but there are obviously, there's more film there to be able to digitize later, so we do have that option, which Dale will be taking to Andrew tomorrow. Not tonight, tomorrow. Because Chris is being parental and be like, no, you take it to Andrew tomorrow, not tonight, because you need some food and you need some sleep and you need a new perspective on this in the morning type of thing. So, but I do like Chris. He's a very slow and steady type of person. Dale, I like. Dale is familiar. Obviously, I like them. They're my main character. Of course, I'm going to like them. But there's not, I mean, this chapter is kind of like a holding pattern type of chapter, which, I mean, it happens, but like you kind of like go over like things like, oh, hey, this is a possibility, this is a possibility type of thing. I do believe in the next chapter, you know, in 2 weeks when you get another episode, that you do have a little bit more information. So, but you also get, ooh, I'm looking at it now. You get some more information about the Andrew and Dale's past. But we're not talking about chapter 6 yet. We're talking about chapter 5, which I mean, it's a good chapter. I think I mean, I knew when I planned it out that I was gonna be a little bit more of like a reviewing kind of gathering everything. You know that point in the show where they're looking at the whiteboard and putting like lines together and everything and kind of like bringing it all together so it starts making sense to them, even if it's the middle of the episode. Like that type of stuff. So I knew it wasn't gonna be a, so I knew I wanted something like that. But sometimes it's just, I didn't think I knew exactly what I wanted to bring to the table. And this is a cold case, so it's a slower paced case anyways, rather than having something that you need constant information for. Like the murder happened, what was it, I think 44 years ago? I think is the time frame. 44? 44. Yeah, 44. I know how to do math in my head. Because this takes place in 2020. So, like, murderer's probably not a threat anymore. You know, 44 years, kind of a while. Two, she's been dead for 44 years, and if the murderer is anywhere near, they could easily be long gone. So, or near. So it's not like it's, there's a rush. I mean, they want to get to know. If because if too much word of the investigation gets out, then if they do know who the murderer still can't slip the news type of thing. But you never know. But yeah, it's a simple chapter, just Dale speculating and a little bit of Chris in there in the later bits. No other new fun characters that you get to meet. I do think technically that this is technically all the no, I think you meet one more no, you meet like two more characters. Yes, yes, you do. Okay. I know this story. I didn't write it or anything. It's been a while, okay? I think if I go... Does my page tell me when this was... done? It doesn't. It doesn't tell me on the actual page. But yeah. Yeah, because this obviously was... And it was probably posted a long after I actually wrote it. But, yeah. I think that's the extent of what I think I have to say about the chapter. It's really not that big of a chapter. I think it's a shorter chapter, too. We don't get much... We don't want to get any new information. But we get a little bit of a review. We get our hands on the photographs. And we get to think about some motive for murder. So... I guess I will see you in the next chapter. For I will not stray from the story until it is complete. So, I hope you guys have a good afternoon and a good evening. I just read to you Approaching Review, which is chapter 5 from P.I. Cohn and the Bicentennial. See you guys in 2 weeks.